Now, Norm Jones on News Talk 580. Welcome to the show.
I think that only needs to air once a day. Make a little change there. Hi. We have some a studio audience today. Guests. Fans, really, is what I would call them. It's 11:09 on News Talk 580. This is WTCM. By the way, the Antrim County Republican Women's Club is getting together next Monday, 12 noon, Siren Hall in Elk Rapids. The guest speaker is going to be Russ Harding. He's with the Mackinac Center, my favorite group. Your biggest fans are right here in Traverse City in northwest Lower Michigan. Russ?
Oh, great. Glad to hear that.
We have a representative from the Mackinac Center for Public Policy on at least once, twice a month. I have been not leading the charge because I'm going to go to a gentleman who actually owns a property on the Boardman Pond, which is now more of a Boardman River. And I had the mayor and I had a county commissioner kind of say, you don't know the whole story and what the legal rights are on this. Mm-hmm. And I got into it a little bit. For people who don't know, I'm going to give you a quick snapshot summary. They lowered the Boardman Pond 17 feet. They exposed the what were bottomlands of the river. And the people along the Boardman River, who thought that they owned their property right up until the edge of the river, are now told that, no, that's the county's property. And so I said, this just doesn't make any sense. First of all, why would the county want that property? Because if they give it to the landowner technically, A, hasn't lost as much property value, and B, could be assessed the same amount of money, as opposed to now taking away your riverfront, which should lower your property taxes. And you're going to speak to this, and there's a lot of legal mumbo-jumbo going on here, but I believe, Russ, the Mackinac Center is in agreement with me on this one.
Well, absolutely, yeah. I mean, you can argue these legal technicalities forever in court, and that may end up happening, but what we think should happen here is the government ought to do the right thing, and that is protect the rights of private property owners along that river or pond, as you mentioned, and that is not seems to be what's happening here.
Well, and I said to the people on the air, I said, why wouldn't you just quit claim deed that property over to the property owner? You've already put their house further away from the Boardman Pond. You already arguably lowered the value of their property. Why not do that? And so somebody called, and I wish a county commissioner, I had a call into the county commissioner, two of them never called me back, and my caller called in and said, well, maybe they want to put a bike path along there. And I said, fine, it's not fine, but give me a reason. If the county wants that property to put in, heavens knows what, I don't care, put in a roller rink, just why do you want to hang on to that property? Have you ever been given an answer to that?
No, we haven't, and I think there's even some more basic questions here, Norm, and that is the wisdom of taking that water down to start with. And there's just a number of issues, and certainly you can debate either side of that, but it ought to be a open, fully debated issue with all sides, and there's a number of, I went there, of course, and looked at it, and we've shot a couple of videos, which we'll be able to show on Monday for anyone that would like to come and see. There's an environmental issue. We're destroying tremendous amount of wetlands, very high-quality emergent wetlands, when we take that water out of the pond area, and there's an alternative energy issue. You know, we hear constantly the governor touting alternative energy and how important this is, and windmills. Well, windmills don't operate most of the time. They're highly unreliable. Guess what? Hydroelectric isn't. And certainly DNR has some legitimate concerns about the safety of those dams, but there are private companies that have stepped up and said, we'll address that, and we believe we can make a profit generating clean, renewable energy here, and that seems to get swept under the carpet.
Yeah, it does. Somebody wanted to purchase the dams, repair them in accordance with the DNR. They wanted it done. Then people started speculating that this Hartman-Hammond bypass would go through if they could build a less costly bridge if they dropped the water levels. That seems to be a moot point because they're connecting Hammond Road to Keystone now. For those people not in the region, just try to keep up with me. And nobody is answering these questions. Your verbiage of it's being swept under the carpet is absolutely right. The gentleman came up and said, my company wants to buy these dams from you. Will you sell them?
Mm-hmm.
No. No. Why not? And nobody has an answer for that. It's one of the most frustrating issues I've ever seen in this town.
Well, you know, when things do change, and what we should demand from government officials is transparency and honesty. Now, we may not always agree, and there's obvious, I mean, that's what this country's all about. We have spirited debates on a lot of issues, and there's nothing wrong with that, but it ought to be an open process. There shouldn't be hidden agendas. I mean, that's how you end up getting corruption in government, when people are doing things behind closed doors. And certainly at the national, state, local level, we don't want to see that happen. What we need is an honest debate. There's a number of significant issues surrounding this, and let's have that debate. Let's talk about them. At the end of the day, let's make sure everybody's concerns are taken account of. And, you know, government should be protecting people's public, private property interests and not absconding with those. And so there's a huge concern on this issue.
Yeah, these aren't some faraway people in Lansing, or worse yet, faraway in D.C. We're talking about our friends, our neighbors, the people we see at the grocery store, these commissioners who make a few thousand dollars a year. Whoopee! For all the time they put in, it probably boils down to minimum wage. Why doesn't somebody, and I'm still waiting for a commissioner, to call me and say, this is why the county wants to retain that property. It's a legal issue. And they keep saying, legally we own it. I don't care. From a public relations standpoint, you're shooting yourself in the foot. We go to Jim right now. Jim lives on the Boardman Pond. I guess I should still call it a pond. It's more of a river now. Jim, weigh in on this one.
Thank you. Well, overlay that I would like answered is one word, and I'll throw this out, and then I'll go on with my spiel. When? ? Okay? That's overlay. About 23 years ago, the wife and I bought and paid for 165 foot of water frontage on the Boardman Pond with riparian rights, as did most of the Boardman River property rights owners. After about 3.5 years and 50 meetings, our county officials have decided to own, quote, the bottom lands, unquote. And we lose our water frontage rights. Having been involved with dam removal since the beginning of the property owners, have never had a voice that was heard. Never. All of the media, and I'm sorry, Norm, but all of the media was absent and made no effort whatsoever to have us heard. Right? With no decision by the Boardman River Dam Committee, 3.5 years of meetings, $1.4 million worth of expenses, the Boardman River Dams Committee didn't make a decision and passed the decision on to the implementation team of the defunct Boardman River Dams Committee. Please understand, that was defunct. BRDC was defunct. But the implementation team and the city and county officials made a decision. Please understand that none of the implementation lived on the Boardman River. Not one. Most of them didn't even live in Grand Traverse County. For example, one member of the implementation team is the attorney for Trout Unlimited and the Friends of the Ensemble, and he lives in Bentwater, Michigan. Obviously his agenda. My question is, not only when, but who is going to help the Boardman River Pond landowners? Who's going to help us keep the water frontage that they paid for and were deeded?
And a lot of people agree with you when they say it is in the deed. But now I'm hearing that you guys who have, you people who live along the Boardman Pond who have acquired attorneys, the attorneys say for some reason the county and or city have a right to that.
That's just an opinion.
Mm-hmm.
That's just an opinion by a special interest group that elected a law firm from, a very reputable firm from Grand Rapids, right? And I talked with one of the finest attorneys in the state of Michigan, and he says they can be beat. But this is the county is basing their input, their decision, on the implementation team and the lawyer who is, quote, his opinion, unquote, is that the bottom lands belong to the dams, which is the city and or the county.
Why? And this brings me back to this question. First of all, I think you've been sucker punched by the lowering of the water.
No question.
But it's taking salt and just rubbing it right into the wound that now you don't even own that property. And I will ask the question, and people can give me the legal opinions until the cows come home, but I'm sorry. Why does the county or the city want the property between you, the landowner, and the river? Why? Why don't they simply quit claim deed that stuff back to you? And nobody's ever been able to give me that answer.
See, in my home, my wife and I have two separate opinions. Number one, mine is nobody will take our property rights away from us, our riparian rights, nobody. That's my opinion. My wife says, I want it back the way that it was. Right? Now, I agree with you, Norm. They can do that, but nobody has helped us. Now, one executive, or I'm one of the members of the Department of Environmental Quality said, and I'm going to quote him, in a meeting, quote, we can do whatever we want to do,
yeah.
Unquote. Wait a minute.
Norm, it's interesting. You know, I was deputy director of DNR and director of DEQ for 8 years when Engler was governor, and, you know, the force of government can be a scary thing. In my opinion, there is a bias within those agencies for what they term free-flowing rivers. Now, what's interesting about that, if you read history books in Michigan, that's more of a myth than a reality. We really didn't have free-flowing rivers because the beavers dammed them up most of the time. And so, yeah, we're trying to create this sort of idealized, romanticized idea that Michigan needs to have all these free-flowing rivers, so therefore this is what we're going to do. Now, yeah, I'm rather amazed. It seems ironic to me that environmental groups seem to be compromised on this issue because continually I see throughout the state cries coming from environmental groups. If you even fill a mud puddle in your backyard, if they believe it's a wetland, but yet here we are destroying many acres of emergent high-quality wetland, and we don't hear anything from the environmental groups. I find this rather disturbing.
And why would the environmental groups want the dams taken out if they're so involved in alternative energy and the environment? I mean, I saw that debate raging. First of all, there's the people who want to preserve the wetlands, you're right, and allow the fish to be able to swim freely. But then there's the same environmentalists who want clean alternative energy, and you can't have it both ways in this case.
Well, that's right. And so at the end of the day, you start to wonder what is the real motive here, and I'm left with a conclusion that doesn't have much to do with rational thinking or even trying to protect the environment. It's almost more become sort of like a religious exercise where man's the enemy, so we're going to reflect any position or we're going to support any position environmentalists would say that minimizes man's impact and tries to restore this romanticized ideal of nature. And I mean, that sounds a little strange, but that's almost what I'm left with.
You know, I guess my point is I'm going to go back to what I said originally. When are we going to get some help? Obviously, the DEQ is using your tax dollars and my tax dollars against us. A friend of mine won a judgment against the DEQ for $250,000. And I told him, I said, wait a minute, you don't have that kind of money, you know, legal expenses, right? His legal expenses were $250,000. And I said, you don't have that kind of money.
That's a travesty here because the state and even the local governments have deep pockets on this kind of stuff. Now,
having worked
in state government for many years, your assistant attorney generals that work on these cases and others, they get paid every 2 weeks here regardless. They can wait out private landowners who have limited resources.
Absolutely. We don't have the money to go up against unlimited funds of the DEQ. Who is going to help the property owners on this pond?
I don't want to put you under pressure, Mr. Russ Harding from the Mackinac Center, but aren't these the kinds of things that you guys fight?
Yeah, absolutely, and we've already invested quite a bit of time and energy in this because I certainly agree with the need to intervene and help these landowners who are being treated unfairly. And the first step in doing that is to put some sunshine on this issue, and that's what we're attempting to do. We'd encourage anyone interested in this issue to come out next Monday to the meeting in Elk Rapids. We'll have a couple of well-done videos that explain an awful lot of this. We'll be there to entertain dialogue and interactive interchange with anybody who wants to discuss these things. It's important that the sunshine be put on here so that people know exactly what's happening, what all the issues are, and that doesn't mean everybody at the end of the day will agree, but maybe that's the first step to getting this resolved. You know, litigation is almost always the worst result, and that certainly can be prevented, and I think government has the opportunity here to reverse course on this and make these property owners whole again, and that's the outcome we'd like to see. So, again, I think getting the information out and people understand what's going on here is the first step.
Okay, I want to reiterate when the meeting is, but we will go back to this discussion. Russ Harding is with us. He's with the Mackinac Center for Public Policy. If you would like to attend the meeting next Monday, it's going to be at Siren Hall, Elk Rapids, 12 o'clock noon. Don't miss it. Now, I want to ask our landowner, Jim. Yeah. My thought when they drew down the water is that it's not going to look as bad as it did then. I drove out there and looked at it, and I went, holy cow. And as you had mentioned, Mr. Harding, the wetland vegetation that was simply dried up and some would say destroyed, but, you know, whatever. I don't think we have any shortage of wetlands in this country, but that's my opinion. And so what does it look like now, Jim? Have you gotten at least some weeds and stuff to where it doesn't look like an empty gravel quarry?
Well, see, I'm looking out the window right now. And my ex-son-in-law has a great description, okay? They've turned it into a big gravel pit. Now, this is, again, I'm looking out the window. About 50 to 60% is new growth, which one of the local judges said, well, boy, it will grow back. But about 40% is still muck and still gravel. And quite a few people get stuck out there. But it is, I think, what best describes it is a gravel pit.
Unsightly still. Certainly took away from your property value, didn't it?
No question about it.
Jim, thanks for the call.
Pleasure.
All right, we're going to go to Dan in Manton. You're on News Talk 580.
Good morning, gentlemen. I grew up in Traverse City in the central neighborhood area. And I remember as a small child being in the car and my dad driving. I'm 43 now. We drove over the bridge there at the Cass Dam. And he said, what an antiquated thing this is. You know, that was, gosh, 30-plus years ago. But one of the things that I don't hear these people who want to restore the river talk about is how the section between the Grandview Parkway all the way over to where the fish ladder is a man-made.
Is man-made?
Is man-made.
It was dredged out for the shape, you mean?
Well, it was for shipping.
Yeah, yeah, right. And well, the other thing is that that's where you put your waste. Is what I was told, excuse me if I'm wrong, but the reason the river kind of winded through town is so, you know, you had a place to put your wastewater.
Well, no, it was done for commercial purposes.
Okay.
Like Perry Hanna had it done for to get the boats up, you know, back at the store there.
Okay.
But if we
it does raise another issue here, though.
If we truly wanted to restore the Boardman River, we would have to take out, say, Midas Muffler and where the open space project is now and put the river opening back where it was. But there's a good side of this. We could take out the Bridge of Grandview Parkway, the Bridge of Park Street, the Bridge of Cass, the Bridge of Union Street, which are all four aging bridges that need to be replaced in the future. We can fill this all in and negate the need for a parking structure.
Okay, now you're getting wild, but I love it. I love how you think. If you take out all of the dams, because I'm not that familiar with it, would you not drain Boardman Lake?
Well, there were waterfalls, I believe, at where the dam on Union Street is now. I've seen an old picture, and it seems to me that there was a waterfall there.
It seems like if there was a dam...
Yeah.
At Union, it seems like you'd be draining Boardman Lake and another grade. Russ, go ahead.
Yeah, there's another issue here, too, that has been raised, I think is interesting, that you don't hear much about, and that's contamination. Now, dams serve very useful purposes because they slow water down, which causes contamination from historic, industrial, and commercial operations. that we know were in the area to settle out into those lower sediments and get covered over. And when you remove those dams, what you do is you create then fast water movement, which stirs up those sediments and recreates a contamination problem downstream. This is well known. I mean, I dealt with this in DEQ for years on various projects around the state, and that's something that should be looked at very closely. There should be the necessary studies to ensure that if, in fact, this does happen, that we don't end up causing more contamination.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
All right. Let's go to, and I want you to think about this, too. If they decided to take out the dam in Leland, would that basically empty Lake Leelanau? Yeah, you heard me right. That's what a caller had said last time we discussed this. Take out the dam in Leland, no more Lake Leelanau, no more multi-million dollar properties in that area. Can you imagine? Charlene in Glen Arbor.
Before I make my comment, I'd like to say this is what you get when you elect a governor who's from socialist Canada and graduated from the University of Berkeley. You know, these people just abuse their power. They don't care about people. And if they can do it and get away with it, then so too bad for you. But there was a guy who, with the last few years, had taken it to court. He was going to lose his property to a mall development. And the Supreme Court ruled in Michigan that you cannot just take property without a valid reason. So they should have to show that there is a valid reason why they want this. And in Michigan, you can file an attorney grievance against any attorney. It doesn't even have to be your own. And if this is a false way to appropriate the property, then, you know, they could maybe file, I don't want to give legal advice, but if someone were to file an attorney grievance, then the grievance board would have to look at it. And if it was not a phony lawsuit, they could lose their license if they pursued it. But the government, also the federal government, was trying to get control of all waters in the United States. And I see this as just an extension of, if they can get control of the waters, they have more control over you.
All right, thanks for the call. I really appreciate it. Now, we have a county commissioner on the line, and I want to make it clear that this is not one of them who I had asked to be on the show previously, but on with us right now, County Commissioner Bruce Hooper.
Hello.
Hi, Bruce.
Hi. Hi. I guess there's a couple of things that I'd like to talk about that don't seem to be being addressed both sides, I guess.
Okay.
Okay. I guess one thing I'd like to address to start off with is back in 1880, when Consumers Power came in and decided to build these dams, what they did is, in order to create an artificial impoundment, you can't flood other people's land. You have to buy the land. And so all that pond was bought and flooded. So the Consumer Powers owned the bottom land back in 1890.
Okay.
And then they transferred it to Traverse City Light and Power, and then it wound up in Grand Traverse County's lap.
Okay.
And just to reiterate, nothing's been decided here.
Well, why not?
Well, because there are three or four options now. We can still address the landowners' issues, and we're working on it. There's an implementation team meeting on the 19th of this month that are addressing these issues of the engineering, the scope of work here, what is this going to look like at the end. This is a five-year process. Nothing's been resolved as far as the landowner issue at all. And for people to say that things have been taken from them is not quite accurate.
No, they're concerned about it. What I don't understand is, what does Grand Traverse County want with that property, or the city of Traverse City? I understand it was deeded back to you guys.
Right.
We could sit here and have a legal argument that you have control over it. It's a public relations nightmare.
And it's public property.
And it's not the right thing to do. You need to quit claim that property in the majority of the people in this area's opinion back to the property owner. They've already been screwed once by having...
Norm, I'll argue with you that it's not the majority of people in this area's opinion.
Mm.
And I know it's a feeling you have, but the facts are different. Things are moving on. There are ways we have to address this.
I can't just
quick game things. This is private property, Norm.
This is process. There's a process. I understand there's a process. Let's say the Commissioner Bruce Hooper was one of these landowners. How would you feel?
Well, feelings really aren't the issue here, Norm.
Oh,
it
come
matter.
On. Commissioner, show me a little respect. How would you feel if that was your property? I asked you a question.
Look, things are changing, and that's just the bottom line. The property is going to change. The dams are on the way out, and now we have an issue to address. And there's three options that the landowners have, and the county has to address the landowners. And my feelings really aren't an issue here because there are facts, there's law, and there's process to be dealt with here. And I think as a member of the media, it's kind of sad when feelings are always mentioned and the issues are put aside because people feel bad.
All right. This isn't journalism. This is talk radio. Let's make the distinction.
Thank you, Norm. I appreciate that.
And I want to show you respect. What are the three options?
Well, there is the quit claim to the property. There's access to the property, and they can have what they need on it. And the third one is it'll be a public park. Up to the nature education center will take over the land, and it'll be public land.
Well, I guess my comment is things are changing, and they're changing in the wrong direction because this concept, bedrock principle of free people, is the right to own property and enjoy and use that property and hand it down to your children. And when we have a government that usurps that, whether it's at the local, state, or national level, we are in serious jeopardy in this country. And we see this continually. It went all the way to the United States Supreme Court case in Kelo. We'll be talking a little bit about that on Monday. Whether it's a physical taking or a regulatory taking, we cannot be a free people unless we can maintain ownership of our property. All the legal arguments aside, we need some leadership here to do the right thing, and that's what I'm not hearing.
Well, you are hearing that. There are things going on, and this is a three-year process. There are over 100 people at every meeting, and again, I'd like to reiterate what the landowner said. The media dropped the ball on this. They didn't follow this at all. And
well,
now there's some kind of issue that they want to create, and I think that's false. It's a disservice to the community.
As an elected official, I don't think blaming the media is a solution.
I'm not blaming the media. There are a lot of people.
Well, that's what it sounds like.
I said that they dropped the ball on it. There's nobody to blame here. There's a process that took forward 3 years. We gave up.
I think when we see the issues and the public gets a chance to look at those issues and there's some sunshine put on them, I think you will see an overwhelming public concern for the direction the commission's taken, and we need to have a clear understanding of what are the motivations behind all this, because I don't think that's been out front.
Well, I guess the one option that I really, really, really isn't going to go over, about like a lead balloon, and that is turning it over to the Conservancy. You know, first of all, when there was a drawdown and the unsightliness and the drop in the property value was one thing, but to not do what, my mom and dad taught us, do the right thing, would be to at least give them back their waterfront.
Well, to say there's been no decision, and if you're a landowner there and you have 17 feet now of property that is a desolate, barren landscape that was on the edge of your property and contained water, I don't think they'd agree to say nothing's been decided.
All right, Commissioner, go ahead.
Nothing has been decided. The water was ordered by the DEQ to reduce the dam levels, and after 3 years' process, the dams were found obsolete and no longer viable, and decided to remove them.
Let me ask you a quick question because you know more about this than I do. While an investor came to town, I don't know if he had the resources or what the reason
that
was.
That was the question. He didn't show any sign of resources.
Yeah.
He didn't show any work plan. He didn't show any ability to say to do the things that he said he could do.
Yeah, I understand
that
was an issue.
He came to a public hearing with a city commission and a county commission. We went over it for years and decided that, you know, it's easy to say things, but he didn't have the resources to follow them up, is what the impression and the decision was.
All right. I wish I could keep you on a dedicated line, Commissioner. I appreciate your willingness to be on the show. And I tell you what, we can talk about the media in general dropping this, but I've been on it ever since day one. So.
Okay. You know, that's just an impression.
Yeah, I understand. Thanks for the call.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Commissioner. Let's go to Jeannie in Traverse City. You're on with Russ Harding from the Mackinac Center for Public Policy. We're talking about drawing down the water from the Boardman Pond to what is the Boardman River, and now who owns the drier lands.
Good morning. I've followed the issue since the beginning, and it's really seemed that they went into it with the plan to remove the dams, despite what they said. I'm wondering, and it's too bad Commissioner Hooper's not on the line anymore, how the county plans to reimburse those landowners for their property taxes. They've been taxed as waterfront property owners for years. And from what I've just heard, they aren't waterfront property owners anymore.
Nah, yeah.
So they shouldn't be taxed that way.
Certainly if it's in limbo, they shouldn't be taxed that way. It brings up an excellent question. What township is that? I don't even know. I wish I knew. Is that Garfield?
I think it's Garfield. Part of it is Garfield. Part of it is East Bay. I mean, it's multiple townships, but it seems as if they went into this with the plan that we're going to take these dams down before any studies were done or anything. City Light and Power was responsible for maintaining those dams. If they're obsolete now, it would seem that City Light and Power failed to adequately maintain them. But ultimately, I think those property owners are owed a refund of their taxes if they don't own waterfront land.
I agree. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Russ, let's go back to you on this one. Why would it take, because you worked in the public sector, why would it take 3 years, as the commissioner said, to finally get your head together? And because don't get me wrong, I've sat on committees before. You can always get a good 10 minutes of work out of a three-hour meeting, okay? But why would it take 3 years for them to decide what to do with that property?
Well, it wouldn't if you had leadership. And leadership and process aren't the same things. And it's always easy to hide behind the idea or the concept, well, we got to have more process and whatever. I think when you air the issues on this, the process is great, but first of all, I cannot begin to understand why are the elected officials in that area would not be interested in protecting the rights of private property owners. I mean, debating whether the dams ought to come out is something that needs to occur, as I mentioned earlier, in an open public forum, and all sides need to be aired. But besides that, all of that aside, there's no reason to be taking this adverse action against property owners. And that's what leadership would be. And I think that until people start standing up and demanding better from our elected officials, this is the kind of treatment we're going to get. Now, you know, when you talk about how popular or unpopular something is, we have to be very careful because, again, private property rights are guaranteed in the United States Constitution, in the state of Michigan Constitution. And I don't think any of us would want our individual property rights subject to a vote of the general population, whether they want to encroach on those for free. When government can't pay for something, it's convenient for them to take it.
Well, and again, I want to be fair and say that has not been resolved. They may end up having access of the landowners. I don't know what that means, whether you actually own the property or not, or whether it's access or what the other options are. However, if somebody gave me land and I was a good neighbor and I found out that their house was on the land that I was just given, I think I would quit claim deed it back to my neighbor instead of doing a possible grab and giving it to a conservancy. Giving something for free and then not doing the right thing and turning it back over to the landowners and say, yeah, I know it was a bitter pill, but here's a little sugar to help the medicine go down. You own the property up to the river. You know, and it may happen. As the commissioner said, it may happen. But I think you're back to the word leadership.
Yeah, that's right. And again, you know, we ought to demand from our elected officials that they protect our basic constitutional rights. And when government starts entering into this, and we see this in all areas, and not just to pick on this issue, but government is now going to tell us every single aspect of our lives. You know, what kind of toilet paper and how much we can use, what kind of car we can drive, what kind of health care we're going to have, on and on. I mean, the list is infinite. And we had better be very cognizant of a loss of freedom in this country. You know, our forefathers fought for this. There's a reason we're having tea parties around the state of Michigan and around this country, because people are waking up to the fact that these aren't just economic arguments. You know, I hear all this all the time. I continually get calls from across the state here at the Mackinac Center on property rights issues. And, you know, people are concerned about the economics, but, you know, Norm, what I hear more than anything is not that. What I hear is we're very concerned that we don't know what kind of a country our children are going to inherit, because we don't even seem to have our basic freedoms protected anymore. And that's really the heart of the issue here.
All right. Thank you so much, Russ Harding. He'll be speaking 12 noon, Siren Hall, Elk Rapids, from the Mackinac Center for Public Policy, having to do with the land issue at hand. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
You bet. Bye.